house for sale. I'm moving out, I'm moving on. This bird has flown. House for sale. I'll tell you where to redirect my mail.
And every Tuesday morning, right about this time, we redirect our mail directly to the king of Atlanta real estate, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cleve Gaddis.
Good morning. I thought you were going to say every Tuesday we reject mail from Cleve Gaddis. I thought we were going to get off track. By the way, Barbara Streisand, I'm always afraid she's going to pass out before she can get her song finished.
I was telling you before we went on the air. I was telling you that she's the only singer I know of that I worry for her well-being.
Well, before she can get the song finished.
That she's just going to become overcome.
Yes.
And that she's going to go for a note that her whole throat will just split open, and she's just going to fall down on the stage. And
I'm listening to her very closely, and I'm listening for her breathing. I just want to make sure as long as she's breathing in, then she's not going to pass out. It's just when I don't hear her breathing in, it worries me. She works harder singing a song than anybody else.
Unbelievable. And can you imagine? She went through this whole period of time. Now, I've not to compare myself to Barbara Streisand. That would be about the farthest comparison you could possibly ever make in the history of show business, but. I've been on the stage a lot,
yep.
75 plays, live theater plays.
And I thought you were going to say 75 years.
Well, that too. It's getting close.
I couldn't help
myself. I'm over half that. But what I say, when I found out that she was immobilized by stage fright.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It really is, given what she does on stage. She's in her own world, it seems like, totally, when she's singing and all of that, that she couldn't actually walk on stage live for a long period of time. I've never heard any real explanation. I've heard that she's over to a point now that she actually can perform in front of people, but there were years and years and years where she could not perform live.
It's really hard to believe. I think she's probably not the only entertainer that had that problem getting started. And now that we've started talking about Barbara Streisand, I'm hoping she's listening to your show as usual, and that she will give me a call. I'd love to help her sell or buy her next home.
Yeah.
Maybe she and I can go out to dinner or just rub elbows just a little bit. Well, Barbara, if you're listening, can I get my number to Barbara if she's listening?
Certainly, and then give the rest of your contact information, because then we won't have wasted 5 minutes talking about Barbara Streisand. Okay.
Good. Barbara, my love, this is Cleve Gaddis. My phone number is 770-497-0000. I'm actually a real estate agent right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and you can also reach me online at gogaddis.com, GOGADDIS.com. If you want to, Barbara, you can friend me on Facebook. We can connect on Twitter. However you want to do it, you just reach out, and we will we'll certainly connect.
And you know what, Barbara? I just want to throw this in because I know Cleve very well. And he does not have stage fright, so he could.
I don't.
No, he doesn't. He could. He will appear in front of any audience, large or small, as long as they're potentially going to buy a house. So,
but I will tell you, if you ask me to get up in front of an audience, I'd go out there. I want to do that someday. I want to sing a song with my oldest daughter, and I want to do it in a studio and have it recorded very nicely with instrumental background and stuff. I want to do that, but I would be scared to death to sing in front of a group. Scared to death.
Well, you know what? The way to break through that, we've yet to talk about real estate there.
Yeah, that's okay. Probably more interesting.
The way to break through that is to find a little karaoke place.
Okay.
And just, get a song that it's on the thing, and there's just very few people there, and half of them are so drunk they don't care, or they're doing their own thing as well, so they're just getting ready for that. And after you've done that a couple of times, it takes away the stigma. But it is tough. But I'm saying start small.
I need to do that.
Where the expectations are very low.
Well, that's where I need to be, where the expectations are low. So when is the next time you're going karaoke-ing?
I'll go with you. It's been so many years. We used to go to there's a bowling alley bar down there off of Piedmont and I'm going to say that the circle that goes kind of behind where the bridge collapsed right there. There's a bowling alley right there.
Oh, yeah.
Across from Denny's. And they used to have it. We used to go bowling and then we do karaoke. But this is many years ago. I have not done it. I have had to sing on stage, but within a play or, you know, whatever in the past few years, but nothing extensive. Anyway, let's good luck with your singing career. And,
thank you very much.
I'm sure we'll hear from Barbara shortly if the phone's not ringing already.
Yes. Well, she's already called my cell phone. I told her I'd call her back.
See that. Well, listen, this is something. One of your notes caught my eye this morning.
Yep.
Because it just seemed totally like you were going to lie to us today. You know,
uh-oh.
And then I went, but Cleve doesn't lie. He won't be lying. A home can actually be sold for less than the amount of mortgage. And then I realized that that's called a short sale.
That's exactly right.
And we've been going through that for the past 8 or 9 years, but not so much now. But that's what you're talking about, aren't you?
That is exactly right. And, you know, we get hundreds of questions every single month from home buyers and home sellers. And one of the things that bothers me as much as anything, Larry, is when somebody asks me a question and it's like 6 months or a year or 2 years too late. And this person who is trying to make the best decisions for themselves financially, for their family, for their future, trying to live the life that we all want to live, they wind up getting stuck in something that they cannot get out of, or they made some decisions that are just not working out very well. And so I got a call a couple of weeks ago from a gentleman. His name was Barry, and he wanted to talk about the process of working through a short sale. He didn't know what it was called. He didn't know if he could do it. But long story short, he has lost his job. His home is worth less than he owes on it, which is unusual, but he just bought it in the last 7 or 8 months. So it makes sense that it hasn't appreciated enough to cover any deficiency. He didn't put much down on it. And long story short, because his property, because his mortgage is owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, I forget which one it was. I think it was Fannie Mae. Then the government decides the guidelines for how these short sales work, meaning it's not, you know, Wells Fargo or Bank of America or whoever's servicing the loan. They don't get to make those decisions. The government makes those decisions for them because it's a government-owned loan. And because he lost his job, it was a hardship. Because he didn't have the ability to repay that loan under normal circumstances without getting another job, which he was not finding good prospects for doing that, he is able to do a short sale. And so we were able to explain it to him. And I know this is an unusual topic because, you know, the economy is rocking and rolling and people are getting more and more jobs and making more money and home values are going up. But there's still a few out there who, unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond their control, they struggle. And there is an opportunity to do what is called a short sale. And when you do that, it actually reflects differently on your credit than if you just let the home go to foreclosure, or if you had to file bankruptcy, or if you gave the lender a deed in lieu of foreclosure. A short sale shows I did everything I could to close the loop, finish it up, and give the money back to the lender. So if you're out there and you have questions about a short sale, feel free to reach out to me. My number is 770-497-0000. And again, this is Cleve Gaddis with Gaddis Partners, RE/MAX Center.
Okay, and you mentioned this. Home loans are up, even with the recent rise in mortgage and interest rates. And that's a bit surprising in the sense that the market doesn't seem to really have added a tremendous amount of inventory. Go ahead.
Yeah, so closings are inching up somewhat. We're probably 3 or 4% ahead of last year in terms of total numbers of closings. That started to switch. Remember, late last year, we were actually below the prior year in terms of the level of closings, the number of homes being sold, but that has started to move in the right direction. And what's happening is interest rates have gone up about a half a point, Larry, if you remember, in December.
Yeah, oh well, no, I know that, yeah.
Well, you and I were talking about numbers 3.9%.
Yeah, no
today,
more.
Today pretty much across the board, 4.4%.
Well, you can get the 15, you can get the 15-year, there's still some 3.9s left for the 15-year.
Actually, thank you. No, you're exactly right. Thank you for clarifying. You could probably do as low as a 3.75 on a 10-year fixed, 3.99 on a 15, but I'm talking about 30-year fixed, and I didn't clarify that, and I apologize.
No, that's right.
But the total number of mortgages being closed in the U.S., in other words, buyers going to closing table, getting a new mortgage, the total number, those percentages are up. And so even though interest rates are up, people are closing more mortgages. And what happens is when we start to see interest rates rise, normally everybody gets scared because they think it's going to push people out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And at least initially, Larry, as mortgage rates start to rise, it does just the opposite, and it pushes more people back into the market.
Sure.
Because it makes them nervous. Hey, if I don't go ahead and get this thing closed, I might not be able to get a loan because I might get priced out of the market.
Absolutely.
Based on the houses going up or the interest rate. So it's interesting that the level of purchases. Now, refinances are down, but purchase mortgages are up.
That's interesting. You know, I hadn't thought of that psychology, but, you know, it's sort of like the same thing happens in the car business. I know I have some friends in car business through the years, and they say the same thing. As soon as people start to see that the rebates might go away or that the interest rates for, you know, for loans start to go up, they see sort of an immediate rush to get in before that happens or before they go up again. And then then they say it tapers off.
Well, no, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, as they rise too much, they do have a negative effect, and they start to at least stifle the rate of increase of pricing, which is really when you're in an environment where interest rates are going up, it's generally because there are government policies in place that are designed to slow the rate of growth. So ultimately, when you think about it, what happens is exactly what it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird when you think about it, but it's true.
Let me ask you this.
This
isn't on your list, but I read this article about people using their rebates, their IRS rebates, if you're lucky enough to get one, which I am not. But they're saying that this is a time that a lot of people make a purchase, like a car or a home, because they have a bit of income in a lump sum more than they would have at any probably one other time in their year, in their calendar year. Do you notice that around tax time, that there's more people who maybe have enough for a down payment now or whatever, and they jump into the real estate market?
Yes, but it's not like it's a huge spike.
Uh-huh.
You know, we might deal with 3 or 4 or 5 buyers this time of year who are timing it so they get their tax return, they can make their down payment.
Got it.
You know, in most cases, people who are buying, they're very intentional about it. They're saving for 2 or 3 or 4 years to make sure they have the down payment. And I'm sure there's probably more to it, Larry, than I see on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's probably more prevalent in the car business than it is in the house business.
Well, it's a smaller purchase, and
that's right.
Yeah, but it is a down payment really helps you in the long run, the more you can put down, particularly on a car, because they spread it out over so long, you end up paying a huge amount of interest on.
What's amazing to me, last car I bought, they said, would you like to finance it? I think she asked over 8 or 9 years, and I couldn't believe she was asking me, that finance lady was asking, if I wanted to finance over 8 or 9 years. I said, no, thank you. I don't want to finance if I can avoid it at all.
That's really nice of you to offer me that. That's really great. That's only going to put thousands of dollars into your pocket. Yeah.
And I'll be upside down for only, let's see, if I finance it for 9 years, I'd only be upside down for 12.
You'd have to get new tires about 4 times by the time the car was in. All right, you got time for one more thing, and I'm going to let you take a shot at this one. How do you win against multiple offers?
So my advice for buyers, and this is such a stressful thing for buyers in today's market, if you're buying a home in Atlanta under $300,000 in a desirable area, the odds are you will be competing with other buyers, maybe even investors who are paying all cash for properties. And my advice to a buyer and the agent who's helping them make that offer is put yourself in the seller's shoes. don't make an offer that just works for you. Make an offer that works for you and potentially works for the seller. So let me give you an example. In some cases, Larry, we ask sellers to, you know, clean out a septic tank and give a home warranty and transfer a termite bond and do some other things. Well, try to keep as many of those contingencies and stipulations off of the contract as possible. Anything you can do to make the deal more sure. So if I give you an offer, Larry, and you're selling your house for $200,000, I give it you a $200,000 offer in all cash and close in 7 days, I mean, that's going to look really good, right?
Yeah.
So as a buyer who's financing, give them a real strong pre-approval letter. Close as fast as you can. Have the contingency deadlines, the financing contingency, the appraisal contingency, have those deadlines go away quickly. And then it stands out to the seller. So when the seller's looking at it and maybe they're comparing your offer to three others who have financing, well, you pay a little more earnest money, you allow them to stay in the home a little bit longer, mm-hmm. you have no contingencies outlined in the special stipulations page, you made it nice and easy and clean. So my advice to buyers and agents who are helping them, put yourself in the seller's shoes when you're making offers on properties where you're competing with other people. And buyers, if you're working with an agent who is not able to tell you or predict in advance when you're going to be competing with other offers, you need to think twice about continuing to work with that agent, because it's not rocket science to figure it out. They can look at the market and they can tell you exactly how that market's going to be and what you need to do in order to compete. And if you're interested in getting more information, I actually have a winning strategies for multiple offers situations worksheet that's got like 25 tips on it, Larry, things you need to do in order to make sure your offer stands out. Call me at 770-497-0000 and I'll send you a copy of it. Again, I'm Cleve Gaddis with Gaddis Partners REMAX Center. If you want a copy of Winning Strategies for Multiple Offer Situations, just give me a call, 770-497-0000.
And Barbara Streisand, happy birthday, and don't forget to get in touch with Cleve.
I'll be waiting. He's waiting.
He's waiting for your call, and we're going to go out, Cleve, today with Moving Out, Anthony's song, also dedicated to Barbara Streisand, moving to Atlanta, Georgia.
Love it. See ya.